You're listening to the Saturday Morning with Jack Tame podcast from Newstalk ZB.
Mike Yardley is our travel correspondent. This week he is taking us all on, well, a dip in Doha. Do you dip in the desert? I don't know, but Mike does. He's with us now. Good morning, sir.
It was a very happy dip too, Jack. Good morning to you in Canberra. By the way, I'm on a ship in the Aegean Sea, so this signal becomes a bit ropey, apologies in advance.
Yeah, this is the miracles of technology. On a ship in the Aegean Sea, as you do, Mike. It's a tough life you lead. I know we say that every second week on this show, but my goodness. If you are making your way to get on a ship in the Aegean Sea, then you might be stopping over in Doha, because, of course, they've got non-stop flights now.
Indeed.
Auckland and Kiwis are increasingly choosing that option.
Yes, they are. And I tell you what, Hamid International Airport has just trumped Changi, Singapore, as the world's best airport, according to Skytrax, just a couple of weeks ago. So they're very stoked about that. And I have to say, going through Hamid International, it is the most beautifully seamless, slick, stress-free experience you could imagine. But like the airport, the city itself is electric and exotic with a real melting pot of cultures. What I love about Doha, it does intermingling well. You know, you've got that fusion of cutting-edge modernity and timeless tradition all in one. But I think it's probably the futuristic skyline that most people associate with Doha. So many beautifully designed, distinctive buildings. They really are quite something. Architecture galore, Jack.
Oh, fantastic. So compared to the like bling and excess of Dubai, how does Doha compare? Mm.
Dubai light, I would say. Not quite as flashy, although they still flaunt it in some areas. The Pearl is Doha's answer to Dubai's Palm. So that's where you do get that exuberance when it comes to extravagant real estate and Ferraris and rollers and Aston Martins continuously purring about the streets. It's like Disneyland for the 1%ers.
Yeah, you're right at home, no doubt.
Well, that's quite right, Jack, of course. I'm a self-confessed building geek. So, a bit like visiting Chicago, Doha keeps me goggle-eyed by just looking up. And it's just amazing how many really acclaimed architects have left their calling card in Doha. I.M. Pei, Norman Foster, Jean Nouvel, they have transformed the cityscape.
Mm. Yeah, it's, I mean, absolutely spectacular, some of those buildings are. Talk us through the essential experiences there. What would you say are the must-sees?
Well, first of all, if there was one favourite building, it would have to be the National Museum of Qatar for me. It's shaped like a desert rose. This is a Jean Nouvel building. It looks like something out of Star Wars. You've got to go and see that. They've got these enormous interlinking discs jutting out of the building in the shape of rose petals. It's the most amazing design. You must take a stroll along the Corniche. Do it before the heat of day sparks up. But that connects old Doha with West Bay. So you're edging along the Arabian Gulf. That is essential Doha. And definitely taking a Dao sunset cruise. That is such an evocative way to savour the city.
Nice. For a more kind of lost in time experience, how impressive is Doha's souk?
Exceptional, Jack. Sensory joy. Souk Waqif, it's been a trading mecca for centuries, and it's just the most delightful honeycomb of stone alleyways, housing over 1,200 pint-sized stores, and they peddle a plethora of goodies, from spices and honeys and souvenirs to potent Arab perfumes. It is utterly addictive. There's some really good street food around the souk, not on their thin, crispy pancakes slathered in honey. And the locals will wash those down with a cup of local karak tea, which originates in India, but Qatar has taken it on as being their own.
Mm. What about some slightly higher, slightly finer dining experiences? If you want to go to a restaurant, sit down, that kind of thing, what would you recommend?
Yeah. Well, certainly I would have a bit of a nibble around the souk's exterior because it is swathed in Middle Eastern eateries. It's sort of like an open-air Middle Eastern food court writ large. So, you know, you can have a wee nosh on Persian, Turkish, Iraqi, Syrian, Lebanese, Yemeni, Qatari cuisine. In Qatar, I think the closest thing to a national dish would be kabsa, rice with chicken, which is simple but agreeable. If you want to go swanky, my God, you've got a galaxy of choices. I actually had a wee splash at the pool, Jack. Not that I was driving an Aston Martin, but my pick at the pool would be this very exuberant Italian restaurant called Spuntino, which is this glamorous waterfront trattoria. That is just a night to remember.
Okay. Qatar is, of course, like flexing its muscles as a global sports super host at the moment. Did you go and check out some of the new stadiums?
Yeah. Yes, I went and saw the Lantern, as it's nicknamed, at Lusail, which is where your idol, Jack, Mr. Messi, raised the World Cup. It's such an astonishing venue. And I was fascinated to learn when I was in Doha last week that post-FIFA, they disassembled quite a few stadiums and teleported them to Africa as gifts to developing nations, as you do.
As you do, yeah.
But yeah, it's so amazing how Doha is just hell-bent on becoming this permanent blockbuster host city for global sport. We've seen it kick up in New Zealand this week with the debate over the nation's championship. Of course, they've already got the F1 as a host city stop. The next Basketball World Cup will be held in Doha. And I reckon, Jack, it's surely just a matter of time before they snag the Olympics, because money talks.
Yeah, it certainly does. Well, what is the best way of getting around? Because it's not geographically a massive space, right? It's pretty small.
That's true, yeah. They have done the most exceptional infrastructure build by way of Doha Metro. They broke the Guinness World Record for tunnel boring, because when they were building their metro just a few years ago, they had 21 tunnel boring machines all operating at the same time, blasting through the earth to build their driverless metro system in record time. It took just 2 years to deliver three citywide metro lines spanning over 100 kilometres of tunnels.
Oh, my
gosh. Hello, Auckland City Rail Link.
Yes. So, I mean, I would shudder to think of the conditions for some of the workers working on that infrastructure project, but nonetheless.
That could be a factor, Jack, yes. But the metro is a remarkably cheap way to get around Doha. It was costing us just $3 New Zealand for an all-day pass.
Oh, yeah.
And it zips you to all the key points. Like Lusail, you can get up to the Lantern, pretend you're Lionel Messi, get you to the souk, get you everywhere you want to go in Doha. So you definitely lap up the metro.
$3 a day. That's fantastic, isn't it? So how long would you say someone who was thinking of going on a bit of a trip to the Northern Hemisphere, up to Europe, somewhere like that, how long would you recommend they take for a stopover in Doha? Because sometimes you know, people only have 24 hours or so. Would you make a couple of days of it?
Well, all of those things I've mentioned, I knocked off within 48 hours. So, yeah, I'd say 2-3 nights is ample, to be honest, to get a really good taste of quite an exotic city on the move.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds really interesting. Okay, thank you, Mike. And very, very well done with your technology this morning, coming to us from somewhere on the seven seas. That's our correspondent, Mike Yardley.
For more from Saturday Morning with Jack Tame, listen live to News Talk ZB from 9 a.m. Saturday, or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.